59.
Thank you.
Billy, that's right, was it 85? Is that what you said? 85, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Okay, let's say happy birthday to Preacher Billy this morning.
Happy birthday to you. Just one will not do.
But really, it's got to all be about Him. And so we thank the Lord for all that He does for us. And then we've got a card here. This is from Derek and Katie. It says, thanks. It's the thoughtfulness of people like you that makes the world so bright. Thank you to everyone that came out and participated in our baby shower yesterday. We appreciate everyone and everything that was done for us. Most importantly, we appreciate all of the prayers that are prayed daily for us. Baby Chapman is blessed to be joining Shady Grove. We love y'all, Derek and Katie. So just continue to remember them, that the Lord would bless Katie and the baby, and of course Derek as he ministers to them there. I was actually with the girls yesterday when I got home, especially the little ones. I said, well, did they get the baby bathed? And they kind of looked at me for a second, but you know, they kind of called me what Daddy was doing there, you know, corny dad jokes or whatever. So Alice did admit that when she was much younger, she thought it was somehow that they gave mommy a bath and somehow that bathed the baby too. You know, that's what baby showers were. So I thought I couldn't have been too far off of the mark on that. Because you know, little kids, you hear phrases and you try to just figure it out, right? And it's just kind of not what it seems like it is. But anyway, we appreciate them and just keep praying for them. Pray for Christina, if you would. Some of you heard that. She didn't do so hot on her first glucose tolerance test, and she had to take a longer one Friday. Thank the Lord He helped her get through it, because it's one of those deals where that syrup has a tendency to make the ladies nauseous, and if you lose it, you got to come back and do it again another day. So, and when she was there was a lady that didn't make it. So, but the Lord helped her get through it, and it was a three hours she had to hang around there. More than likely, we'll find out Monday how this one went. So. Just pray that the Lord would have His will in that. As I read some of them earlier, I made her a cheesecake Friday, so she's got to hurry up and get that eaten before Monday, in case she finds out that she's got the gestational diabetes, so she, you know, she has plausible deniability, you know. So just pray for her and our baby, if you would, that the Lord would take care of that situation. And would you thank the Lord that there's some here this morning that have not been able to be with us recently? Thank the Lord for giving people healing and help. And we know probably just about all of us are struggling with the lingering congestion and stuff, but God's got grace for it. He's got help for it. So we're just trusting in Him to take care of us. And I noticed now Miss Edna's coming up here this morning. They said she was feeling better. Does anybody know? You heard anything from Edna?
She's still coughing her head off.
Oh, she's still, okay. So just continue to remember Miss Edna. I know, I'm sorry, I'm probably missing folks, because I still got this congestion. So like Preacher Stoney said Wednesday, I'm still a little bit foggy. Is there anybody else that's still out for the sickness?
I think Christine was out.
Christine is, okay. Is that where they are this morning, maybe, Christine?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so continue to remember them. I know Miss Jenny said that didn't you say she was kind of getting over it? So, you know, Dad mentioned her the other day that she had started to get sick, and, you know, continue to remember Preacher Dwight, you know, and the affliction that he's got there, and just, of course, continue to remember Sam and Matt, you know, that just that whole situation, that God would step in and take care of that. Is Greg working this morning, or is he sick? Or?
He's sleeping. He worked last night.
Oh, okay. So, remember him, of course. Remember Brother Robert. Does anybody know, did he have his appointment? Okay. Yeah, see, I've lost track of the day too. But just remember the Brother Robert with that abscess. I think maybe they're going to try to do something, I don't know if it's surgery or what, but he struggled with that thing, struggled with it. It's not getting any better. You know, a lot of times he's not able to come because of it, so I just pray for him on that. Who's got a request of prayer to lift to him this morning?
Member of Vivian Chief.
Amen.
Couldn't hardly walk this morning.
Yeah, amen.
Couldn't walk.
Yeah. Amen. Remember this. Who else has got a request this morning? Want to mention? Okay, amen. Remember her.
If they called me was sick this morning.
Yes, remember this.
Again, I want to thank the Lord for answering prayers.
Yes.
I thank the Lord for being good to us. You know, I've seen this healing, and I've also seen the greater things than that.
Yeah.
Just healing physically. You know, it's been a good week for me as far as just getting to see the Lord work.
Amen.
And, you know, it's been encouraging.
Yeah.
And I thank the Lord for it. I just want to brag on this morning before I say anything else, but we've got some requests. Just pray for Israel.
Yes.
Pray for our nation. Pray for this election coming up.
Yeah.
You know, not only pray that, you know, we would get good, you know, godly leaders or ones that would, you know, lead us in the direction that God would have us to go. You know, pray that God would fool the plans of them that want to mess with elections.
Yes, amen.
I mean, you know, I ain't a doubt in my mind the last presidential election we had was tampered with.
Amen.
And they've done everything they could to, you know, secure things the way they might have believed it.
Yeah.
You know, I know God's sovereign.
Yeah.
But we ought to pray about that.
Yeah.
And just pray that the Lord would just have His way. And that is perfect will be done. Let's pray for, you know, our nation.
Amen.
You know, there's such strong opinions today. We've got such division.
Yeah.
And the Bible says the nation divided against itself won't stand.
Right.
The
nation
divided against itself can't continue. And let's pray for our nation. Let's pray that, you know, that we would be able to come together, you know, under the, that those that are lost be saved.
Yeah.
And that they would know the truth and they would receive the truth. And, you know, also let's pray for those of us that, you know, are saved or those of us that, you know, have, I guess you might say, can see things as they are,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we would also be willing to, you know, accept and, you know, love others, you know, even if they have different opinions, but still treat them as human beings.
Right.
I'm not saying accept their opinions.
Right.
But yeah. I'm saying to treat them as human beings and to love them and to do all we can to, you know, give them the gospel. You
Amen.
Know what I mean? They can't turn from their ways and they can't repent except they realize that they're sinners.
Yeah.
And that they need Jesus. And so let's pray for them. And let's pray for one another. God lost loved ones. And got friends and family neighbors that need the Lord.
Amen.
I've seen him work, and I know he's able, and I know he's willing. Let's just continue to pray for him. Just
yeah.
keep lifting him up, and let's just keep trusting God.
Amen. Amen. Continue to remember Christina's stepmom, Jan, too, if you would, in that situation. She had a pretty rough day yesterday, you know, just the situation with her daughter and everything. It's, I mean, from the fleshly point of view, I mean, it looks bad. It looks, from the fleshly side, it looks hopeless. But it's like you said, God's always able to do it. There's nothing that's too hard for God. There have been
right.
so many people that God has brought back from a point at which man had written off.
Yeah.
But God knows that God's able to deal. And, you know, going through that period, though, where you're talking to God, you're asking Him to deal with it, and things look like they're getting worse, I mean, that's a difficult situation. It's heavy. But God has, you know, He can encourage us in that. If we're just willing to trust Him, then. So pray that God would help Jan spiritually and deal with the situation, that He would have His perfect will done. And just pray that God would help us to be faithful in the little part that He's called us to do, because there's a lot of it that we can't do nothing about. But just what He has called us to do, just pray that God would give us strength and give us encouragement in it, that we wouldn't lose hope, and remember that God's in control of it, right? So we don't have to worry about the results. That's all of that's up to Him. All He called us to do is to be faithful. So just pray for us in that, if you would. I know Miss Candy mentioned this morning that Kyler's going to be doing some traveling, so be much in prayer for him. You know, the Lord watch over him, protect him, keep him where he needs to be. So pray for that if you would. Remember, our youth meeting coming up. And I'm sorry, preacher's going to probably talk about it here in a little bit. But remember our pastor, too, because I know he desires our prayers. That God would guide him as he guides this church. That God would give him the messages that we need to hear. That the work would be done in our congregation that needs to be done. That God can use us to do the work that he desires to do through us. That we would be a fruitful church. I know that's what our pastor desires. So pray for him that God would guide him, you know, to help us in that. Anybody else this morning?
You need to pray for my dad. He's still been going to church with Mama a little bit. So, I meant to mention this the other week, but we went to a thing at Smart Grove the other week, and Quinn was standing out there talking to my daddy, and the pastor at Smart Grove was up talking, and my daddy told Quinn, he said, "That's a good preacher up there."
So, amen. He's right about that one.
the Lord needs to change my daddy's heart, but I don't know he's going to.
Amen.
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 All right, that's all. So I'm going to pray this morning.
Thank you.
glad that, you know, I'll tell you, I'll be honest, my eyes are sensitive a lot, and I get up there in that bright sunshine, it tends to want to give me a headache a lot of times, and so I wear sunglasses a lot, you know, and keep my hat pulled down. But, you know, we're going to a place where there ain't going to be a cloud in the sky.
Right.
And that light's going to be perfect.
Yes, amen.
It ain't going to cause any issue whatsoever. And furthermore, the body I'm going to have is going to be perfected.
Amen.
And it's going to be without issue. Amen. Right. Yes. And we're going to enjoy that light. And so I'm looking forward to that. Leading after the youth. Is that last Sunday? I got to declare it's off.
Yeah.
I thought it was last Sunday.
In case, yeah, be much in prayer for our youth meeting coming up. Be praying for Preacher Curtis Presnell. And be preaching. That's going to be April the 10th to the 13th. It'll be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 7 p.m. and then Saturday morning at 10. And then after the service Saturday, we'll go out and we'll eat some hot dogs and hamburgers. Is that all right with everybody? I didn't even ask that. Is that all right with everybody? That sound good, pop off the hamburgers. We're going to volunteer Jesse and Tony to grill them things. Is that all right with y'all? All right. Well, good. In any case, they'll be up there and help grill for us. And we'll do that Saturday. We'll have some good fellowship and some good fun. And have a good time. Look forward to that. But be praying for the meeting. And somebody mentioned this morning that it'd be a good idea about getting, you know, some of these other churches asking them if maybe their youth choirs could come and sing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought about that as well. And so we might try to do that. And just be praying about that. Just be praying that the Lord work all that out as well. Let's see. Is there anything else to say? Remember the foundation study tonight, 5 o'clock, or this evening, 5 o'clock. It will still be daylight, 5. But it'll be a signal at 5 o'clock, and if you haven't wrote down the question, you want to be here, and you want to answer, the question is this: what is one of the Jewish traditions or laws that were kept during the Old Testament and are not kept by the New Testament church, or are not kept by the church Christians today? There might be some things that the Jews still do that we don't do as Christians. Or it could be something that the Jews used to do, and even they don't do it, you know. But, you know, you can answer why do they not do it, but you can also tell us why do we as Christians not do that. And, you know, there's lots of reasons for different things, but you'll find that there's generally the same reason for a lot of those things.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. We need to hear all about it. And so if you want to bring those answers and give us that tonight, and that'd be great. And, you know, the reason, like I said, we call it a foundation study because it's given foundation. And those are some foundational questions. You know, those are the things that people wonder about, people ask. And somebody that's lost and, you know, doesn't know the Lord, they don't have faith. And, you know, it's something that, you know, that they wonder about.
Yeah.
You know, well, why does it say this here? You know, we don't do this. In any case, all right. Does anybody have a special song they want to sing before we get started? I'll come on up here. Go ahead.
It's on. It's on.
It's on. It's on. It's on. It's on.
I love that old cross where the
fall. Catch it. Catch it, Stoney.
Y'all are all in a hurry.
He said, listen, son, he said, your name
is more valuable than anything else you'll ever have.
Yeah.
He said, it's all you're born with. He said, it's what you'll die with. He said, and all that you could gain and possess and everything that you could earn in life, he said, it'll go away. He said, it won't mean nothing. He said, but your name will live on. He said, it might influence your youngins, your grandchildren. He taught me that from a boy. I tried to teach my sons that. That name will live on. And your name means a lot. So when you tell somebody you're going to do something, you better do it.
Yeah.
And if you give somebody a promise that you're going to be somewhere, you're going to be somebody that's dependable. I believe that's a biblical way to be, especially for a man, to be somebody that's dependable. But nevertheless, say sometimes I tell people I'm going to do something. And just because of a series of events, not because I don't mean to intend to. My intentions were good, but I just wasn't able to do what I said I was going to do. I don't like doing that. It really bothers me. But there's times that that happens, and it happens with everybody. And in the same sense, sometimes I've promised people things that I said, this is going to happen, and we're going to get this done. But it don't always work out that way because I'm just a man, and my word is nothing but just a man's word. But praise God, when God gives his word, it is the word of God. Whenever he gives a promise, that promise will be fulfilled. Amen. And I'm glad that we can count on the promises of God. I'm glad that we can depend on the promises of God. I want to tell you, I don't care how good of a neighbor you got, how good your daddy or grandpa was. I think you ought to respect him. That's great. That's wonderful. I respect my daddy. I respected my grandpa when he was living. But I want to tell you right now, I don't care how much respect you got for him. You cannot depend 100% on the word of any man.
Right.
But you can depend on the word of God. Amen. You spend enough time around any man, they'll let you down.
Yeah.
I promise you they'll let you down. You ask my poor wife, she'll tell you, she's married to the pastor. I don't always live up to everything that you might expect me to. Even she expects me. That's why I said she's the best member I got. If she knows me, she knows the worst of me better than any of y'all. She's still here every service. Kids, I would say something like that, you got no choice. But in any case, we can depend on the promises of God.
Hey.
Let's look here, first of all, at one of these promises here in the Word of God. He says this. He says that there are some men in the last days which are scoffers. We got plenty of time here.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful.
Hey.
Sometimes I don't know where the time goes, but somehow another just flees from us, it disappears, but we've got plenty of time this morning. It's only 15 till. So y'all should have plenty of time to get to the buffet after service. I promise y'all won't keep you here too long. But they're in the last days. He's talking about that men will be scoffers. And he says in verse number 3, he says, know this first, that in the last days scoffers walk, there will be scoffers walking after their own lust. And he says, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? He's promised that he will come again. Amen.
Yeah.
He said that if I go, he said, you know that I will return. He said, I go now to make a place for you. And you know that if I go to make a place, he said, I'll return again to where I am. And you may be also. I'm glad that he's not just left us down here to toil in this old sinful world, but he's coming back for his children. I'm glad that whenever I got to know him, I don't have to worry about my future. My future is secure. My inheritance is secure. Hey, I want to tell you right now, we can't be sure about nothing for our future down here on this earth. You might say, well, I've got a good retirement. Hey, I'll tell you, Social Security can disappear like that. The company you work for can shut down and your retirement can disappear like that. You can't depend on that, but I promise you, you can depend on what God's got in store for you. Hey, I want to tell you, that's why he tells us not to live for this world, but for eternity, for the world that is to come, because there's great treasure that's going to be there for you and I. Hey, it ain't something that I deserve, but praise God, by his grace and mercy, it's something I'm going to get. I didn't earn it. I ain't done nothing to deserve it, but he's been good enough and gracious enough and loving enough that his precious blood was shed on Calvary, washed my sins away. Praise God, made me one of his own. Hey, Jesus said that he'd be the firstborn among many brethren. Amen. I want to be his brother. Amen. I want to
going to bring us there, and he's going to make us his own, and that everything that he's created, everything that he's made, he's going to give it to us.
Amen.
He's given a precious promise. It says in the last days, he says people scoff and they'll say, where is he at? And why ain't he come yet? And we're living in them days. We're living in them days where we see some of the signs of the times that the Word of God talked about. We see war and rumors of wars, right? We see what's going on in Ukraine and what's going on in Israel. Hey, I don't know if you know it or not, but we're just a sliver away from civil war down there in Texas on the border. I don't know if anybody's, they don't really talk about it on the news or anything.
Right.
And I don't know why. Well, I know why, but I don't know exactly, you know, what each individual news station reason that they might give why they're talking about it. But in any case, we hear about all these things going on. We hear about all these natural disasters occurring more frequently and all over the world. And all these things, this earth is groaning. This earth is preparing itself because God has set the time wherein that he would return. Why do you think that these volcanoes are erupting and all these earthquakes are happening and these storms and these floods and these natural disasters? Do you not believe that there's something going on down deep in the core of this earth? I don't know what it is, but I promise you this. The Word of God says that the power of God, the Word of God, is keeping this world in order right now.
Amen.
It said that by the Word of God, the flood came and consumed the whole world in Noah's day, and that all perished in the flood waters. But the Bible says that by the same Word of God, it's kept until the day of judgment, the day of fire. The Bible says when even the elements themselves will burn with a fervent heat. The Bible says that God's going to destroy this earth, and it says he's going to destroy the heavens. The Bible says here in 2 Peter that even the heavens will be lit afire. And I don't know how to explain all that. I'm not no scientist. I'm not no astrophysicist. And I can't begin to understand a lot of them things, much less try to explain it to all of you. But I can tell you this, I can trust the promises of God, amen. I can trust the Word of God. When the Word of God says he's going to do something, praise God, he's going to do something, amen. And he says this, he says, considering this, says he's not slack, verse 9, concerning his promise. He's patient. That's why the Bible says in verse 8, he says, be not ignorant of this one thing. He says, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. He said, time doesn't matter to him.
That's right.
It's not as you and I perceive. That's why whenever we study eschatology and we look in the book of Revelation, we have to remember that John was called up thither. Time no longer applies to him. In eternity, things play out differently than they do here where time is applied.
Yeah.
You understand? And so whenever we look at Revelation, we have to study it in light of the fact that time is not being applied in the same sense that you and I would apply time. And what I mean by that is this, because read in the book of Revelation, it doesn't start after the seven letters to the seven churches and then go to the end in this perfect chronological order.
Right.
It almost works like a typewriter. It goes, shh, shh, shh. Then it goes way over here and starts back again in the, you know, timeline. As we would see it in the way that it has some of the things how already have played out and things that are playing out. But in any case, we see here that the Lord says that time is not something that affects him. Matter of fact, he invented time.
Yeah.
He did. First thing he done, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, first few words, in the beginning.
Yeah.
In the beginning. God established time right there and there.
Yeah.
In the beginning. So time is not something that applies to him. It says here that he is not slack concerning his promise, because time is not something that applies to him. He is patient. The Bible says here, verse 9, that he is long-suffering. It says he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. It says, as some men count slackness. Mm-hmm. Some would say that he is not fulfilling his word because he has not returned, and they expected him to return at this point, and they're looking for this kind of sign and this kind of sign, and they expected this, they expected that. Hey, listen, we're talking about God here.
Yeah.
Okay? He doesn't know. As a matter of fact, when he said his word, he said, no man knows the day or the hour.
That's right.
He says, you can tell the season. He said, but you ain't going to be able to call the day.
Right.
So there's plenty that said, well, you know, we've created this calendar, and, you know, there's this, you know, they've tried to figure this out. And then you have people that become discouraged because they followed some foolish man.
Yeah.
Who give promises by man's word, and sure they fail because it was given by man. After God has already said you're not going to know the day or the hour.
Yeah.
He said, I will come like a thief in the night when no man knows. A thief makes sure you don't know when they're going to come, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, right.
Because if you knew, you'd stop them.
Yeah.
Out here in this part of the country, you'd probably stop them real good.
Yeah.
I would stop them from thieving again.
Yeah.
And so they make sure that they are going to be unseen and unheard.
Yeah.
The same way, it says, that's the way Jesus will be when he comes. It'll be something that you don't expect. The Bible says this, he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his long-suffering. It says the reason that he's not come yet is not because he wants people to doubt. It's not because he just wants you to leave you here in this world suffering. It says it's because he's long-suffering.
Right.
It says it's because he's patient. Because it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
God does not desire one person that's ever been born to die and go to hell.
Amen.
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 You say, well, what about the murderers and the killers and all this, that, and other? Hey, I'm going to tell you, at one point in time, they wasn't nothing but a little baby.
That's right.
It was man. And man's ideals that corrupted. It was doctrines of devils. It was the workings of Satan that corrupts and that puts all them different kinds of wickedness in man's heart. But God is still not willing that any should perish. But that all would come to what? Repentance. That means to turn away from them sinful ways. To turn from that sinful mindset and to ask forgiveness because of a dependence on the goodness and the mercy of God that He's provided in His Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for our sins whenever He shed His blood on Calvary's cross, whenever He gave up the ghost. The Bible says that He was wounded for our transgressions. The Bible says that it pleased God to bruise Him. It satisfied the wrath of God against my sin whenever He was put to death on the cross. Whenever He looked up into the heavens and He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? God had turned His back on His only Son because my sin was applied to Him. God could not stand to see my sin being applied to His Son. It wasn't just because He was suffering. It wasn't just because He was going through that. At any time He wanted to, He could have called down 1,000 angels to carry Him off of that cross, to take out every single one that mocked Him and scoffed at Him. But praise God, He loved me enough and He loved you enough. He didn't have no question about it. He didn't wonder what I'd turn out like. He knew every lie I'd ever tell. He knew everything I'd ever do. He knew every kind of wicked imagination that had come across my mind, and He still stayed up there on that chunk of wood with His hands nailed to it and His feet nailed to it and that crown of thorns on His head, and He done it all for me, and He done it all so that He could pay for my sin. And as He was there, my sin and your sin was being applied to His account. The Father couldn't stand to see that filthiness on His Son, and He turned His back. And praise God, the Bible says that He'll never forsake you or me. That means He'll never turn His back on you and I. He's not slack concerning His promises. He's not willing that one should perish and go to hell, but He's willing and long-suffering and wanting and desiring that every person that's born would repent and be born again by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
He's a good God. But we're talking about the purpose of the promises. Now, consider what great promises we have from the Lord God Almighty. Consider this. What is the purpose of His promises? Not only do we have this promise here, but I'm just going to hold my place here. I'm going to turn over here to 2 Timothy. And Let me see here. I've lost it. I had it written in here. Yes, here we go. 2 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse number 15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, whereby needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase the more ungodliness. Their word will eat as doth the canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So now, you know, we have over there Peter's talking about those that say, well, when is he coming back? You know, when is this supposed to happen? Now we've got some to say, well, it's already happened. You know, the resurrection's already happened. And he says in verse 19 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. The man therefore purge himself from these, he should be a vessel to honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared to every good work. It says, the foundation of God standeth sure.
Yeah.
Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. We have a promise that he knows us, that his foundation is sure, that we have a good, solid foundation to stand on. That foundation is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that although we might not feel worthy, hey, is there not times in your life that you sit and you wonder and you say, well, how could God love me?
Mm-hmm.
You ever been there before? I certainly have been there before.
Yeah.
Yes.
You say, well, why would God love me? I do this and I say this, and look how good and perfect he is. Why would he love me? We have this promise that the Lord knows them that are his. We have the promise that he wants to save everyone in his life. We have the promise that he doesn't want anyone to die and go to hell. And we have this promise also that if we're saved and we come to know him, that he always knows us. Yeah. That although we might not feel as if we know him like we should, as if we might, sometimes we can drift and we can get away from God. And we can grow further away from him. We can withdraw ourselves. You say, well, no, yeah, you do.
Yeah.
And if you say you don't, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You lied to yourself. You're probably at that point right now. But you need to get a little closer to him. But he's still there.
Yeah.
He's never took one step away from you and I. If we feel distant from God, it's because we've distanced ourselves.
Amen.
Because he's never forsook us. He's never turned his back on us. The Bible says this in the great house. It says, the Bible says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The purpose of the promises is this, sanctification. I'm going to go ahead and give that out there to you. The main purpose of the promises of God is to sanctify us.
Yeah.
If you want to, write that down. And I'm going to go into more detail here in just a moment. But first of all, let's consider this. What is it that we might think that the promises of God are for? First of all, let me give you some more of the promises of God. In Acts in chapter 2 and verse number 39, the Bible says this. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I'm glad that the promise of God is not just for me. It wasn't just for my grandpa. It's for my children. It's for their children. It's for as long as the generations keep going, the promises of God still stand firm. Amen. You ever worry about what if the Lord comes back and my children are lost? And I'm what if I'm raptured and my children are left here? Anybody ever worried that? You ever think about that kind of stuff? Or you think about you got friends or you got family, and you think, well, if the rapture happens and I'm taking, what about them? Hey, the promises of God are still good for them, amen. Amen? The promises of God are still good. You ever worry about if something happens to me and I'm not here for my children and able to teach them? Do you ever think about anything like that? The promises of God are still good for them. Do you ever worry about this? That this world's getting wickeder and wickeder. What's it going to be like for my grandchildren?
Yeah.
What's it going to be like for their children? Oh man, what kind of stuff are they going to face? I'm glad the promises of God still stand for them, amen.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that attain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. Let's read that one more time in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now let's break that down just a little bit. Over here in 2 Timothy, in chapter number 2, the Bible tells us, not in 2 Timothy chapter 2, but over here in 2 Peter in chapter number 3, the Bible tells us here, it says that as the Lord gives this promise, it says in verse number 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, talking about the earth melting with this fervent heat, it says, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness. See, the promises of God, whether it be that he's promising he's coming back, whether it be that he's promising he's going to judge the wicked, whether it be that he's promised that he's going to save all who call upon his name. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No matter what the promise that he gives us is, the promise is concerning the sanctification of those that belong to him.
Yeah.
You see, and you say, well, why is this necessary to preach? Preacher, it should be obvious. I don't think it is.
Right.
I don't think it is in the day that we live in. I believe that people generally think that the promises of God are so that they can be happy and that their life can be fulfilled.
Yeah.
I really do. I believe that people, rather than take the Word of God for what it says and conform their lives to line up with the Word of God, it seems to me that most want to do whatever they're going to do that's pleasing to the flesh, and then twist the Word of God to conform to their own ideas.
Yeah.
The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction.
Yeah.
The Bible says that God, in the end, he will judge. There will be a day of judgment. Amen. The Bible says that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. You see, we've got, just like Miss Debbie mentioned earlier, talking about there's a church, she said, I believe it was in Hickory, didn't you? Said, I haven't heard about this, but I don't doubt it, and it happens all the time.
Yeah.
They're having some kind of pride day at a so-called church. Like you said, it's not a church.
Right.
If they're doing anything that's exalting homosexuality and something that the Bible says is an abomination, it's not a church at all. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem saying that. I'm not ashamed to say that. That so-called pastor, whoever's the so-called leader of that church, if I could, I'd give them a piece of my mind as well. Hey, I'm going to tell you, as Christians, we ought to be bold to stand against sinfulness and stand against wickedness.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, preacher, you ought to love people. Yeah, we should love people.
Yeah.
But you should also give them the truth.
Right.
And hey, if you've got people, I promise you this, if you've got a so-called preacher or some spiritual leader that's leading people astray,
yeah,
that's specifically the one that you need to direct, not your hate or any of that towards, but your boldness and your stand. And if anybody, that's the one you call out.
Yeah.
That is the one you call out. We're called to do that.
Yeah.
As Christians, we're called. Why do you think that they suffered so much persecution?
Yeah.
Why do you think that the Old Testament Christians, why do you think Peter was crucified upside down? John was poisoned. There was ones that were beheaded. They were killed. They were burned alive. They took them and they lit them on fire and used them to light the stadium where the gladiators fought. They used Christians to do that. Why is it? It's because that they stood unashamed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They stood for truth.
Amen.
They were uncompromised. We live in a day and time when things like that go on. And it's not just going on here, it's going on all over. And the reason is because of this. People tend to think, and they don't have anybody to direct them, God just wants me to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
God just wants me to be happy. Well, I know people said before that I shouldn't, you know, have these tendencies where a man would love another man, be intimate with another man, or a woman be intimate with another woman, but I really believe God just wants me to be happy. Say, well, you know, I know that you shouldn't be divorced, but I believe God wants me to be happy. I know you shouldn't fornicate, but I believe God wants me to be happy. I know you probably shouldn't go out and party it up and drink and do all the things you want to do that's pleasing to the flesh and let you have a good time. But I think God just wants me to be happy. God wants you to be whole.
Yeah.
That's what the promises of God are for. That's why he said that we would be partakers. He said these give us great and exceeding precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. You know what the divine nature is? That's that godly nature.
Yeah.
The only way that we can do that is by the promises that he gives. I'm glad he gives us the promise of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Amen. That he would send a comforter, one that could come and indwell us and be with us, that would guide us and lead us into all godliness. The Bible still teaches and tells us that he sent the Holy Ghost for that purpose. Hey, God did not call me out of sin and out of the life that I was living just to be happy. Matter of fact, I probably was a lot more carefree and happy back then. You say, well, preacher, that sounds awful. Well, you know why? Because I was lost. I was blinded. I didn't see and understand where I was headed. But when God convicted me and revealed to me that I was going to hell because of my sinful ways, but said, son, I love you and I've died for you, and then he saved my soul, praise God, I'm looking for glory. That's where my joy is at. That's where my happiness is at. I've had plenty of happy times. I've had plenty of good times since God saved me, but ultimately, my joy is up there.
Yeah, amen.
Because this world ain't my home.
Right.
I watch the news. I see all the wickedness that goes on. I see all the heartbreak and all the terrible things that happen and how people treat one another. The things that they do to children and everything else. This world ain't my home, and I'm glad of that.
Amen.
I'm glad that he has a place that's prepared for me by his promises. If I just look to God for happiness, I'd be disappointed. If you look to God just to make you happy, and you expect him just to make you happy, you're going to be sorely disappointed.
Yeah.
Because I promise you that living for God, you're not going to be disappointed. Living for God won't disappoint you.
Right.
But if you're living for God just because you want him to secure your happiness and your contentment, you'll be sorely disappointed. I feel sorry for those that follow Joel Osteen and some of these.
Yeah.
Feel good. God just wants you to bless you and so on and so forth, make you happy. I mean, it's pitiful. It's like John MacArthur said. He said it's very clearly seen in the title of one of his most famous books, Your Best Life Now.
Yeah.
He said, if you are indeed living your best life now, that means that you're headed to hell.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm not living my best life now.
That's right.
My best life is in the one to come.
Amen. Yes,
sir.
This life is broken.
Yeah.
This life is not the place where it's not my home anymore.
Yeah.
God's got a place for me because he loved me and he died for me. And I didn't have to answer and pay for my sins. You say, well, I think God wants us to, you know, be successful and just do, you know, be able to have this and to do this and that and other. Well, go preach that to the Christians in China.
Yeah, amen.
Go preach that to the Christians that are in the Middle East that are being killed. You know what they find do? You know what they do to a family if they find out you're a Christian in the Middle East? They come and get that man. They make him a slave. They get your children. They make him slaves. They rape that woman until she's pregnant because they believe that that will be a Muslim baby.
Yeah.
And that will redeem that bloodline.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
That's what they do to Christian families in the Middle East. You know what they do in China? They kill them because they're spreading what they consider a disease of doctrine.
Yeah.
They don't even tolerate that. They just kill them. Ain't no prison. Ain't none of that. You say, well, I don't hear about that. It's because it's China. They don't have to tell you nothing. They're communists.
Yeah.
They do whatever they want to, and then they'll tell you what they want you to hear.
That's right.
But that's what they do. You talk to some of these people that's escaped communist China. They'll tell you the truth. Go tell those people that are hiding underground, that are tickled to death, to have one page tore from the Word of God that they'll memorize because it's the only thing that they have. You go tell them that God just wants them to be happy
and to have a good life. Hey, I'm going to tell you, they're not looking to this world for their happiness. They're looking for the kingdom to come. The promises of God are for this purpose, to sanctify us and to make us holy, to draw us closer to Him, to make us closerly, more formed to His image.
That is the purpose of His promises. Whenever we read anywhere the Word of God tells us these, the purpose, it says, by these we might be partakers of that divine nature. Again, over here in 2 Peter, the Bible tells us this. Says, seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, that even the elements burn with the proof. He says, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking forward, hastening to the coming of the day of God, where the heavens being on fire should be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heaven, a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look such things, be diligent that ye may not be found of Him, that you may be found in Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. We talked about, first of all, that first promise concerning His coming, and how that's a promise I believe that we very well in our lifetime could see fulfilled.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it, I'm not going to blame the know the day or the hour, and I ain't going to say it's going to happen. I said it could, very well could. There's nothing else that needs to happen before Jesus returns.
Yeah.
You say, well, okay, well, that's great. Well, understand the significance of that. There are a list of things that must happen before He returns. They've all happened.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We are resting in such a time in history where that our forefathers did not, where that we can literally see the return of Christ. Now, He might wait 1,000 years, it might be 2,000. I don't know. The Bible says no man knows their hour.
Yeah.
But He knows. He's got it prepared. The earth is already revealing and showing that it's preparing itself for that time. Now, that's going to be at least 1,000 years from now, because we still have that millennial reign.
Yeah.
So the things that you see going on now, with all the natural disasters and so on and so forth, I mean, I don't know what the lifespan of the earth is, and these scientists claim they know and everything else they don't.
Right.
God knows.
Yeah. Okay.
CO2 ain't going to be what destroys this earth. I promise you that.
Amen.
It ain't going to be cow farts. It's going to be whenever God comes.
Yeah.
Whenever His foot sets back on that Mount of Olives. Whenever He reigns and rules and has His way. And after that final judgment, when the false prophet and the beast are thrown in the lake of fire and that great white throne, and all them that followed Him and hated God, to refuse Him, to turn away from Him, they'll be judged. And then this earth, all the heavens is going to be destroyed. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But I promise you this, if you're saved, through it all, we've got this promise.
Amen.
That He's going to take care of us.
Amen.
He's going to take care of us. And everything He does for us. Because He's a good God.
Amen.
He doesn't just do it so we can make more money, or so we can go on more vacations.
That's right.
Or have a more impressive Facebook profile. He does it so we can be holy.
Yeah.
So that we can do something that impacts others. You know, I told somebody the other day, I said, there's lots of times that I really want to be bad. Would anybody else be honest with yourself right now and think about that?
Yeah.
I just don't want nobody thinking I'm a good person, preacher, because I'm not. If I had my way, I'd probably done shed blood 3 or 4 times this week. If I had my way, I would run people off the road on a daily basis at bright light me at night. And you say, well, that's awful. Do you not care about people's lives? Not when I'm mad, I don't. Maybe you do, that's good for you, but you probably fail in some other way that maybe I don't.
Yeah.
But what I'm just saying is I'm just talking about me. But I'm saying this, the reason that I don't do those things, it's not because I'm a good person. The reason I don't do those things is because I want to protect my testimony.
Because I care more about what people, you said you shouldn't care what people think. I do. And you should. Not what they think of you, but what they think of the God you serve.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
It means more to me to be able to go to somebody and give them the truth of God's word and then take it to heart and say, you know what? I've watched that boy, and I know that he's living it and that he means it, and that's the reason that I try to behave, is because I want to protect my testimony, because the promises of God have been so real to me that I want to share them with others. I want to see people born again. I want to see people saved by God's grace. Hey, I want to see God work in that way, and it's because that God has been so good to me. And through these promises, he's kept me from harm and danger. He's kept me from the depths of hell. He's kept me from making a mess of my life. And I want others to have that too.
Yeah.
He wants to sanctify you. He wants to help you. Not in the way you might imagine. It ain't to fatten you up. It ain't to impress your friends. It's simply to make you a better child than he is. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I want to ask you this morning. Has God ever let you down concerning a promise in his word? He's not. But I know that we've all certainly let him down.
Amen.
I want to ask you this. Has God spoke to your heart this morning concerning his promises? And the purpose that he has for in your life, that he wants to sanctify you and draw you closer to him. Can you see the gap that you need to cross this morning? He's built a bridge for you. If you'll walk across it and come to this altar, God will help you and give you the help you need this morning. He wants to help you and grow you and use you. God's purpose for you is not just to sit on the church pew. He wants to use you in greater ways than that. This ain't nothing but a fuel station.
Yeah.
You are all the vehicles that God has intended to deliver and carry the gospel everywhere that you go. If you're lost this morning, God's convicted you of your sin. Revealed to you the precious love he has for you and how that he sent his own son to die in your place that you can be forgiven. Why don't you come to this altar and repent? Ask God in your heart. Ask him to forgive you. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. Be born again. Start a new walk with him. As I pray this morning, if the Lord spoke to your heart, why don't you come? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word, how it convicts me, reminds me of, Lord, all the ways that I fail you. Lord, how quick I am, Lord, to just want the easy way and the easy route. Lord, I pray, God, that more than anything, you'd help me to desire holiness and godliness, no matter what roads I have to travel down, what obstacles I must face. I pray, God, that I keep my eye on the prize, that you do the same for each and every one of us. Lord, that our lives may reflect your glory, that you would be glorified, that the name of Jesus be exalted. Lord, that we would just give you praise in the worst of each circumstance. Help us to be reminded and remember, Lord, that this is not our home. This is not our kingdom. But Lord, you have one that is prepared for us that's so much greater than anything we could imagine. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage them that are discouraged. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would strengthen them that are weak. Lord, that you would convict them that are walking in darkness and put light on their path and save the lost and be glorified to do so. Lord, we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus.